Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night. It's really, really hot outside, but I'm glad that you guys are with us. We are officially in the dog days of summer. There is nothing going on in the sports calendar at all. Unless you want to talk about terminating Greg Berhalter, we can do that if you want. Other than that, we are in the season of there is nothing else besides Major League Baseball regular season. The sports calendar has just completely grinded to a halt, and that is that's unfortunate, because we gotta figure out ways to keep you guys entertained on the radio show for 3 hours a day every day. But you know, we've been doing it for a long time. I think we do a good job at it, especially this time of year. But for an Ole Miss specific podcast, let me tell you, not a whole lot to talk about tonight, but we're going to do our best. We're going to try to have fun. Also, a little PSA for you. Number one, my name is Michael Borky. This is Rebel Report Live. Glad that you guys are here. Please subscribe if you have not already. Last month, so looked at the numbers today. Last month, I'm very proud to say that we had a lot fewer episodes because of our hospital visit and also a week off. And the per episode numbers were still, they grew in the month of June, which is just, it doesn't usually happen that way. So thank you guys for that. I was very shocked to see that earlier today, but very, very happy to see it. So thank you guys. Don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, to subscribe to the podcast feed. So if you miss this live, you won't miss a second. If you're listening in podcast, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Just search my name. You can find it there. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of my social medias, Rebel Report, wherever you get your podcast. Before we dive into anything else, PSA, Archie Manning is still with us, despite what the Clarion Ledger has done today, freaking a lot of people out, because I guess the artificial intelligence editor really got their clickbait algorithm figured out. You guys know me. I don't like calling out other media. I think that that's kind of lame unless there is an absolute reason to, or if somebody's reporting something that I may disagree with, whatever the case may be. I don't like to do that very often, but frankly, I think what they did today is it's cheap garbage, honestly, is what it is. And here is exactly, if you haven't seen it, then you didn't have that moment like a lot of people had, where you read most of a headline and then your heart sinks a little bit, because the way they framed it, they made it seem like, at least initially, that Archie Manning had left us. Here is the headline, Clarion Ledger. Just, let's see, 7:14, so not even an hour ago. Clarion Ledger, Archie Manning, Ole Miss football legend, dad of Eli Payton, grandfather of Arch, is 75. Now, you tell me that as you're reading through that, you did not think, oh no, what happened? Oh my gosh, Archie Manning passed away. And then you click on the link. So obviously, is 75. That's a weird headline, because on top of that, you would think that, well, the next thing, that must be his birthday today. So at first it was like, oh my gosh, this is an obituary. Terrible, terrible news. And then second is, oh, he's 75. Happy birthday, Archie. Nope. At least according to Wikipedia, which, by the way, I know college professors say don't use Wikipedia because you won't pass. I passed college because of Wikipedia. It's not even his birthday. He turned 75 back in May. So for some reason, Gannett and the Clarion Ledger decided to shock headline their way into what is just a photo gallery of Archie Manning. It's just pictures. The first one is him present day. The next one is one of him on the sidelines while playing at Ole Miss. The next one is him shaking hands with a couple of Ole Miss basketball players. You've got another picture of him in black and white, sitting next to his wife, courtside at a basketball game, standing next to Peyton, wearing a Saints helmet at another basketball game, talking to Keith Carter in a Saints uniform again at the Passing Academy. That's all it is. It's just a photo gallery for some reason of Archie Manning. That's literally all it is. It's just a photo gallery. I mean, if it wasn't so blatantly, pathetically, obviously clickbait, it wouldn't be funny. But I'm getting a kick out of it. I'm laughing about it because of how shameless it is that they shock clickbaited people into looking at a photo gallery of Archie Manning for some reason. Not that he's not and hasn't done incredible things for the game of football in Ole Miss, but what the heck you doing? So he's still alive. He's still with us, is Archie Manning. So there's your PSA of the day. The lead topic, the question I have for you, and then we're going to do a lot of chat tonight because there's very little to talk about, as you guys have probably picked up by now. But the lead topic is, in your opinion, what record is more likely for Ole Miss? You're not predicting a record. Which one is more likely, in your opinion? Undefeated 12-0 or 8-4? Which one is more likely? Undefeated 12-0 or 8-4? We'll get to that in your messages after I tell you the podcast is presented by the Rebel Report, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries are unavoidable sometimes in life. It's unfortunate when they happen, but they can happen to you. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute as well, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, will not only discuss your legal options, but form an actual relationship with you. You're not just a number. You are a real person. And when something real bad happens to you, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm will take care of you. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. You may not need that phone number today. In fact, I hope you never need to use that phone number. But if that day comes, if you're injured or you have a small business or contract dispute, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Do not delay. Call DJ today. So I'm just going to pose that question out to you guys, and we're going to do comments tonight. That's what we're going to do. So what is more likely, 12-0 or 8-4? 12-0 or 8-4, what is more likely? And let's get to your comments. It's July 2nd. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good time. Pat, Zach, Tim, good to see you guys. Does baseball have momentum, or are we delusional? With all due respect, what momentum? What momentum could they possibly have right now? Yes, they're picking up. You know, they've picked up a couple of portal commitments, but no, there is still very much exclusively reason to be concerned about the current state of the baseball program, and nothing about who they've picked up should inspire any confidence. I know they got another pickup today from second team All Big Ten guy, had a bunch of home runs this year, but I mean, was Illinois' worst hitter in conference play? Numbers really dropped in Big Ten play. Was only a 259 hitter anyway. Only got on base at a 370 clip. So making that transition from the Big Ten to the significantly better SEC, that's tough, but that is where they are at the moment. No, I currently do not think that there is momentum at the moment with baseball, unless you want to call negative momentum a thing. But no, I very much think that they're still in quite deeply, deeply concerning, a deeply concerning state right now. as far as undefeated. I would love that, but I do not want to beat Georgia and then play them again in the playoffs. They're going to try, it seems, to avoid rematches as best they can. So it's important to consider the possibility that 2024 could be a flop, even if most of us don't think that way. There is a path to 8-4. Absolutely, there's a path to 8-4. 100% there is. I mean, look, it's you really don't have to stretch too far to think that they could lose to either Kentucky or South Carolina. Do I think they will? No, I don't. But good teams have gone to Columbia, South Carolina, and lost before. And the Gamecocks are off. They play Akron, and then they're off before Ole Miss comes to town, where Ole Miss will have what I think will be a game that they'll be favored in by double-digit points. But still, Kentucky will be a difficult game for Ole Miss. Losing one of those two is not out of the question. Certainly losing in Baton Rouge is not out of the question. Oklahoma's got a lot of great personnel, especially on defense. That is a losable game. Georgia, obviously losable. I mean, you think the Swamp is a super-duper easy place to play? I don't think so. Obviously, there's the trip to Baton Rouge. I mean, yes, there is absolutely a path to 8-4 if they're not locked in and don't take care of their business. I don't think they're going 8-4, but there is a path to it. Absolutely. What happens, say, if the portal offensive linemen don't acclimate? What happens if Juice Wells doesn't return to 100% and Deion Smith can't get the playbook down since he's joining the team very, very late? Things like that. Things like that. You'd say 12-0 is more likely than 10-2. I was thinking about choosing two different numbers. I was thinking about going 11-1 or 9-3. Which one is more likely, 11-1 or 9-3? But I decided to stretch it out a little bit more. I think to me, 9 is more likely than 11. But also, I think they're going to hit the over at 9.5 wins, depending on the book that you can get them. Or depending on the book where you can get the line to pick the over-under. You're saying 8-4 instead of 12-0. It is insanely hard for anyone in the SEC to do that. How many Saban teams went 12-0? Very, very few. Here, I'll pull that up for you. Going undefeated in the SEC is special is an understatement when it comes to that. Okay, getting there. Nick Saban had a lot of seasons as a head coach. Head coaching record. Okay, so he went undefeated at Alabama twice. Nick Saban went undefeated at Alabama twice. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? In 2009, they went 14-0. And in 2020, they went 13-0. Yeah, they go undefeated when the schedule was the most difficult with COVID. But yeah, Nick Saban went from 2007 to 2023. He went undefeated twice. That is wild. How many times did he go undefeated in conference? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Only 6 times did he go undefeated in conference play. The College Football 25 rankings are a joke. I feel like they wanted to spread out top rankings among the conferences, more national appeal. Would not at all surprise me if that was part of the motivation. It wouldn't surprise me. Them partnering with Pro Football Focus is going to give you some lopsided thing, opinions and rankings as well. It is very clear with Colorado's rankings that they did that, I think, for one reason and one reason only. They could sit down and show me a recording of their meeting where they decided the rankings, and I still wouldn't believe them if they told me that it wasn't, that they didn't put Colorado where Colorado is simply because of hype. Because Deion, I mean, look, he moves the needle. He absolutely moves the needle. You love him or you hate him. You think he's going to be a star. You think he's going to flame out, but man, talking about Deion, Coach Prime moves the needle. It absolutely does. So Colorado being ranked where they are is absolutely a product of who their coach is and nothing more. Tennessee fans should think that EA Sports is out to get them with where they think that their team is going to be. But yeah, the rankings are horrible, that they're absolutely awful. I mean, part of me just wonders if it was done by a bunch of computer video game developers that just kind of leaned on historical things and helmet bias and what will sell the most games. And that's what they did, as opposed to actually who's going to be good and who's not. If sports is at a halt, I guess we have to talk politics because we all love those discussions. I will say this. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, but does the media just love to gaslight you, don't they? Political media on both sides, frankly, but in this case, one side has been incredibly exposed in their attempt to gaslight you on a very, very prominent topic. And they've been exposed, and now they're trying to, like, CYA, and it's not working. At least I don't think it is. You don't think that they are beating Georgia under basically any circumstance, so 8-4 is more likely. By the way, Feinbaum is still awful. Look, I had somebody DM me yesterday about something that a Feinbaum caller said, and what I said to him was, regardless of what it is, never – and I truly mean never, never take seriously what is said on or by Feinbaum. I mean, if he's got a guest like Pete Thamel on, that's different. But whatever he said about Lane Kiffin, don't even engage with it. Just don't even engage with it. The sole reason he says something like that is to get you to engage with it. There's no weight behind anything he says, and how the league is okay with him being the forefront big name analyst of the SEC network is absolutely nuts to me. I mean, credit to him for finding a niche all those years ago where people yelling into their phones about Alabama could be so financially lucrative. That speaks more to us than it does him. Good on him. He's made a lot of money doing that, but it's deeply unserious is what it is. It's unserious. The stuff with Arch Manning, it's all intentional. So don't consume it. Don't engage with it. It's a waste of your time. I just can't believe with all of the really smart, good people that cover college football, that is the lead analyst. That is the guy that they throw out there, that they put on sets. And it's not an indictment on him. It's an indictment on people that make somebody like him popular and famous. But my goodness, I mean, when you have an Andy Staples out there, and you don't have to agree with everything that Andy Staples says, but he's thoughtful. When he has an opinion, there's a reason why he has that opinion. He can back it up. He's not trying to just stoke reaction from you. He's trying to deliver you good and smart commentary. That should be the lead analyst of the SEC, not what you currently get. But anyway, you said, thank God the show came on. It's giving you a break from your online college classes. You started yesterday, 38 and first time in college. Oh man, that's congratulations though. I do not think that I could. I don't think that I could. The thought of taking a test right now gives me anxiety, and I'm not the one taking it on like you are. So congrats, man. It will be worth it. It will be. But glad you're here. Sure, it's difficult in these months with engagement. It really does. This is a hard time of year. So we've been kicking around an idea on the radio show, and we finally brought it to the public today. And gosh, what did Hey Dad name it? It was such a good name. Guys naming dudes, I think is what we called it, because there's a viral tweet that's like, men will literally just sit around and name and just say random athletes' names for hours, something like that. We're going to do that on the Friday before we go to SEC Media Day. So next Friday, Richard's going to lead us off by just, hey, do you guys remember this guy? And we're going to spend 3 hours just talking about and connecting them all, right? Not just throwing out random names, but like, let's say he says, hey, you remember Juice Williams at Illinois? Oh my gosh, yes. And in 07, you know, he went to Ohio State and beat Ohio State, and then they played in the Rose Bowl and they played Stanford. And you remember who they, you know, that kind of thing. But just like a stream of consciousness of just us naming our like random college football players and just riffing about it for hours. I think we're going to have a lot of fun because we kind of did that today a little bit. It just kind of hit me during the show. I was like, hey, if you could pull a quarterback from pre-2000, so pre the year 2000, and place them in today's offense, like who would that guy be? Who would be perfect for today's college football that maybe wasn't or just like ahead of their time back in back prior to 2000? And we got a ton of engagement on that. It was actually a lot of fun today, despite nothing else going on. So. A lot of those Saban teams only lost one game, and two of those were to Ole Miss, no doubt. Can I say that I hope Hayden gets to feeling better? Hayden, I hope, truly, sincerely, I hope you get to feeling well. I actually was not feeling too good myself on the drive back from the beach. I caught a little something, and my little man just been really tired all day, kind of feeling the same way I did. So we're kind of in the fight with you, but hope that you start feeling better, Hayden. And I'm glad you're here, man. Clarion Ledger is garbage. Yeah, I don't like calling out people because the media is hard. It's difficult, and the people that actually work there have their hands tied behind their backs, and they're not the ones writing headlines and stuff, but. The publication, the Gannett or whatever it is now, all the way down, it's just so pathetic that they try to pass as a legitimate news source when they do garbage like what they did. I mean, that's terrible. There's clickbait and then there's that. Seriously, try to tell me that there is any other thing that they are attempting to do besides make you think that Archie Manning was dead. So you would click on it and realize that he wasn't. But it worked because now, like, Big Cat from Barstool to his 2 million followers has put it out there. So it worked for them. They've got 350,000 views on it. So I guess mission accomplished. Horrible. Which is more likely to happen, Ole Miss in the SEC championship or State makes a bowl game? Ooh, that's tough. Ole Miss in the SEC championship game? I have State going 5-7 this year. So. Steve Perry, the singer of Journey, is 75. Isn't the new guy losing his voice a little bit? I could be wrong about that. The guy that they picked up from the Philippines. What is his name? Oh, apparently he fixed it. Arnel Pineda. Oh, sorry. I butchered that completely. But apparently he has fixed his vocal issues. But that guy's amazing. I'm a big fan of Journey myself. And I know Steve Perry is, you know, it's like if Led Zeppelin stopped touring with Robert Plant, that just, you know, wouldn't feel right. But he's done a phenomenal job. He's a showman. His voice is incredible. He sings the songs the way they're meant to be sung. I've seen him. If you haven't seen him and they come near you, you should, because he rocks and they still rock, man. Super chat from Mike. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate you, man. No message attached to it, but nonetheless, thank you. Thank you, man. I really appreciate you. 12-0 is most likely. 8-4 would entail not only missed evaluations, but a ton of injuries as well. The 8-4 falling apart path feels like for sure losses to LSU and Georgia. Oklahoma could beat them, but if we're talking upsets, look at Carolina, Arkansas, and Florida. I think the game at South Carolina is the most likely upset of those three. I think that's the most likely one. Which is more likely, Ole Miss football wins 8 or fewer games, or Ole Miss baseball wins more than 8 games in conference next season? Do they draw Missouri? More likely is Ole Miss football wins 8 or fewer games. I think. 12-0 more likely. LSU by no means is a for sure loss. Absolutely not. Is it a for sure loss? Brian Kelly would trade Ole Miss's roster for his in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think about it. He wouldn't even think about it. If you walked up to Brian Kelly and said, "Hey man, you have to trade your roster for Ole Miss's, yes or no?" Yes, right away, as fast as possible. So feels like we're in the middle of a culture shift, or in the midst, you say, of a culture shift at Ole Miss away from baseball towards football and even basketball. So in the interim, yes. I don't think it's a long-term shift. I just think that nobody at all supports a loser. Nobody. Which, you know, that's why some of the takes about just the state of college football cracks me up. It's, well, fans aren't connected to their teams anymore, so when they start losing, people aren't going to show up anymore. Well, who showed up to watch losers play anyway? That's not my favorite argument. Because I've been in a lot of stadiums of teams that weren't winning pre-NIL era, and there were a lot of empty seats. So I haven't really loved that argument. Ole Miss fans are directing their attention towards football because they always do, but towards basketball at the moment because basketball's got competency at a bare minimum right now. They portaled well, maybe not as well as you would have hoped, but they portaled really well. They're recruiting well. The schedule's going to be better. High expectations for a really, really, really good basketball coach. And high-level basketball is fun. And frankly, Ole Miss has done a good job of supporting average basketball. Seriously, Ole Miss basketball is rarely good, like truly good. And I've seen packed and loud arenas for average basketball. That's all you guys have really asked for, and you support it. I think that it's easier to ignore baseball because of how bad it is. If things were normal, let's say they had gone 14-16 or whatever, things wouldn't feel like this. It's because they've been an epic disaster that is causing that. But I don't think that's permanent. Baseball will always matter at Ole Miss. I think it's temporary because the results on the field have been so pathetic. You're only going to college because the Army's paying you to go to college. Well, good. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than what I paid to go to college, I'll tell you that. Hi, great minds think alike. I answered this before you asked. I just didn't see it yet. More likely upset, I think, is Columbia than Fayetteville. Did you sit next to me in Curtis Wilkie's creative writing class in the spring of 2014? Very likely, because I was in Curtis Wilkie's creative writing class in the spring of 2014. I was a bad journalism school student. I was. I've said on the radio show, and I know somebody up there has heard this, just that there's no way that the Meek School of Journalism is proud of, that's what it was. The J School at Ole Miss, I don't know what it is now, is not particularly proud of me being an alum because I didn't do anything when I was in school. I'm not proud of that. You shouldn't follow in my footsteps, but I really was not involved. I did some writing at the DM occasionally. I didn't do Newswatch because I realized very quickly I didn't want to do television. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do opinion. It's just there was no avenue there at the time really to do opinion in the way that I wanted to, or at least I wasn't aware of at the time. And so got lucky and found my way at Super Talk, and now I'm getting to do what I do. But yeah, you Mike, you probably weren't impressed sitting next to me in college. Very likely the opposite. Some so-called Ole Miss sites keep posting a pic of Lane saying another starter lost to the portal, and you open it and it's a baseball player. I have not seen that, but that's garbage too. That's garbage too. Like, you know, there was a small news cycle about Andrew Fisher not officially entering the portal, and that was never a thing. Hard Knocks tonight, New York Giants. Really? Well, is it mini camp? I didn't know that. Well, now I've got something to watch when I hang up with you guys here. Think about these road trips. Haven't won in Baton Rouge or Fayetteville since 08. The 09 Columbia trip was embarrassing. I was there. And the swamp is difficult no matter what. I was there on that Thursday night. Last year, Tulane was a dogfight. Auburn was frisky for three quarters. The Egg Bowl got nasty. But, okay, yes, Tulane was a dogfight. Ole Miss was in complete control of Auburn, though. I know what the score was, but you were watching the same game I was watching. Ole Miss was in complete control of that game. They just shot themselves in the foot when were unable to really pull away until the third quarter, and that's when the game ended, basically. But, yeah, winning on the road in the SEC is hard. And I think that, like, even the Tulane game showed you why Ole Miss so badly needed to upgrade on the offensive line. They got whooped up front that day. What helps you win on the road? Running the football and playing great defense, right? That's how you win on the road. That's how you win all the time. I've got a big brain here, folks. I'm a great analyst. But still, it's if you're really good up front on the offensive line, like make everything else the same for Ole Miss last year and just improve two of the guys they had up front on the offensive line. And the Tulane game's not close, but it was. So I think that's some of it too, is those are the kind of games that expose a weakness on the line of scrimmage like that. Georgia exposed weaknesses on the line of scrimmage, et cetera, et cetera. If there's a path to 8-4, we can start getting ready for basketball season. You're going to keep your hopes up. If they can find ways to win like last year, they'll be fine. There's no reason to not have your hopes up. Absolutely no reason not to. Don't think we understand the amount of talent Ole Miss has. Fayetteville is always concerning, as well as Baton Rouge. Very true. Let's also not forget the Florida factor in this. If Napier is out the door, we all know who will be near the top of their list, especially late in the season. If things don't need to get weird. I saw one of the SEC accounts put the question out there, by the way. It was like, Ole Miss fans, would you rather make the playoff or God, what was the question? It was something stupid like, are you okay making the playoff if it means you might lose Lane Kiffin? It's like, what? So would you rather, Ole Miss fans, win and go to the playoff and have an unprecedented season, or underachieve and keep the coach that underachieved? Which one would you rather, guys? Would you rather win and maybe lose your coach, or lose and keep the coach that lost? Galaxy brain stuff there. In a rare scenario as fans, never been in a situation where we've expected to be as good as this with as much talent as we have. I don't really know what to do with my hands. One thing that should encourage you about this is Kiffin at Ole Miss over 4 years, he hasn't really lost any games he shouldn't have. the end of 2022 was a disaster. It was, but that team still won 8 games anyway. Breaking in a new quarterback, spending all offseason in a quarterback battle to begin with, but Kiffin tends to beat the people that he's supposed to beat. It's kind of his thing. He did it in 20, 21, and 23. He kind of beats people he's supposed to. His teams largely are prepared to play and match expectations. That's been an underrated part of his time at Ole Miss, is you know what to expect on a Saturday when Ole Miss shows up. You kind of get what you think you're going to get every time they play. Florida cannot be forgotten about, can be totally different than what we anticipate. I think they're going to be better on defense than people expect. I think Florida, I mean, their schedule is so difficult. You guys have seen it. Everybody knows it 100 times. But what benefits Ole Miss is Ole Miss is off before they go to Gainesville, and Florida plays Georgia at Texas and LSU leading into Ole Miss. So that helps too. All I'm saying is the College Football 25 ratings that were just released will not be the final ratings come October. Either they do it before release or they have an early season update. They should update it every week. But, I mean, by the time most all of you gets the game and plays it a lot, the ratings will be irrelevant because you'll be multiple seasons deep in anyway. Speaking of Colorado, 4-8 doesn't move needles in the real world. But here's the thing, Eugene. I liked watching them lose. Them losing moved the needle for me because I enjoyed it. After seeing the video of Colorado players before the Oregon game doing what they were doing on the field, the arrogance, but that's not even a good enough word to describe it. I can't believe that they didn't know what was coming. Dan Lanning knew what was coming. But anyway, you picked Ole Miss 9-3 each of the last 3 seasons and 5-5 in 2020. I try not to stay high on them for bias sake, but I really believed Kiffin would win from day one, and now I'm going higher than 9. Yeah. Who gets fired first, Bianco or Greg Berhalter? Berhalter. For some reason, I think they're going to go ahead and make the change. The noise is too loud at this point. I mean, the quotes after the game yesterday were pathetic. Matt Turner should never. I'm being emotional with this, but what he said after the game, Horvath needs to play, I swear, because if you can lose the way that they lost and the way that they performed in Copa and say there's nothing wrong with the direction we're going is pathetic, is what it is. It's pathetic. And then Tim Ream admitting he's one of the only 2 guys that gives a damn on the field, but that effort is slipping through the cracks there. So you got a culture issue. You've got complacency. It's an embarrassment. You cannot enter the World Cup like this. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. You've got 2 years. Somebody else, literally anybody else, deserves a chance at it. They have stagnated, and they're too talented. I've seen people say today, oh, they're not talented enough. That's everybody has to come to grips with that they lack talent. When you say things like that, you're suggesting that they are being like Berhalter and staff are getting the most out of them. Well, they lost because they're not talented enough. They lost Uruguay because they're not talented enough. They just don't have the talent. When you say that is the reason why that they performed like they did in Copa, you're saying that they're getting the coaches are getting the most out of them. And that is garbage. That's bull. That's excuse making is what that is. Or that's trying to be a contrarian for the sake of being a contrarian. Sometimes the universal opinion is the correct one. They're just not talented enough. Give me a break. They lost to Panama. Stop. I've seen LSU fans sort of mixed on the Ole Miss game. Some are treating it seriously, others and are concerned, but there are many who consider it an automatic W because there are some that consider it an automatic W every year regardless. So good to see you, Jerry. Glad you're here, my friend. Feinbaum show is truly terrible. I don't know how people consume I really don't. Again, credit to him for getting money. I'm going to spend hours of my day listening to people scream into their phones about Alabama football. Why is that appealing to anybody? A lot of media you see giving LSU the win in Baton Rouge. 10-2 is the consensus you've seen on LSU. Let's see. USC, they certainly could lose that one. They could lose in Columbia in week three. UCLA and South Alabama should be wins after that. Ole Miss at Arkansas at A&M certainly can go 1-2 in that stretch. They did draw Vanderbilt, which is a nice break for them. They get Alabama at home, which is a nice break for them, but they still have to play Alabama. They still have to play Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm not seeing double-digit wins. Gut feeling is 11-1, yet you'll settle at 10-2. That's where I still am at the moment. Lane doesn't lose games he isn't supposed to, with the only real exception being the 22 Egg Bowl. Yeah. You're predicting 11-1, barring no major injuries. Yeah, that's always the X factor here. Go live at Media Days with Edward as my special guest. So I will definitely go live on Monday night after Ole Miss Day. It depends on Sunday. Well, it just depends on when I can get there. I don't know if I'm just going to sprint out of here, quite frankly. I'm going to miss my son dearly. I don't like spending time without him. I hate it. I know I'm a softy, whatever. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. So if I get there at a reasonable time, we'll do something Sunday night. We will definitely go live Monday night after the radio show. To just kind of recap the day, I will be recording a bunch of interviews and stuff throughout the week that I will just publish. But I think the only live will be Monday night. Everything else, just because of all the stuff, there's a lot of moving parts. Monday will probably be the only live day. And then we'll get back to regular schedule that Thursday night. Because we'll leave Thursday and get back Thursday night in time. So that is the tentative plan for Media Days. But a lot of interviews will come that week. Just only Monday night will be live, I think. Yes, Ole Miss did get a couple of players in baseball. The numbers are concerning, I think. You know, got a guy with nice power, but the conference play numbers are concerning. It's not when you look around the SEC and you look at the quality of player they're getting, it's not what you're getting. If Ole Miss goes 8-4, you believe that'll end the Lane Kiffin era? It'll be such a gross underachievement. I think it'll set the perfect storm of letdown fans plus strike before the iron cools. They will not be firing Lane Kiffin. They could not afford it, simply put. Unless, you're set. Okay, you continued. NFL, different school, whatever. I think that'll be the safest jump-off point with Dart and company leaving and facing a restart despite Portal easing that problem on modern ball. I do think that they have gotten away from, and it was a good thing to get away from, the last dance thing, because you will have a season in 2025. Chase has returned. He has. Yes, he has. Last year's team with an over-under of 7.5, winning 10 and then 11 games was so impressive. Felt like that staff maximized what they had. For sure. Pete did a really good job, too, quite frankly. I think Pete overachieved relative to nationally what people thought the Ole Miss defense was going to be. The Clarion Ledger still in business, yes. Yes, apparently it is. So I don't know much about Steve Perry's departure from Journey in the same way I know about like Led Zeppelin lore. So I don't know for sure if there was a lot of drama there, but I do know that the band today still rocks. So, you also have stayed at 5-7. You started at 6, but man, the roster is not there right now, especially on defense. That Florida game is massive for them. Also, watch out for Arizona State and Toledo. Arizona State picked to finish dead last in the Big 12. I don't think that they will finish dead last in the Big 12. But that's a weird game. It's, you know, it'd be a weird environment, 9:30 at night. Our resident Oklahoma fan met Feinbaum at the SEC party yesterday. Welcome, officially, Boomer Sooner. Glad to see you, man. Welcome. Memphis Rebel, send me a DM about that, because I don't think that's what's supposed to happen after workouts. State is more likely than not going to put the worst defense on the field most of us have ever seen since the early 2000s. I'm looking for excitement over what could be going forward in culture building. Yeah, and, you know, Chase, you've heard me say this before. I think you listen to the radio show, so you State fans know kind of where I stand on this season. I think that the record could be the exact same as last year, literally identical record, and the team can be better because of how difficult the schedule is. I'm confused at the defensive portal strategy, frankly. Either they just swung and missed a lot or they didn't emphasize it. Either way, I do not like the personnel there. So what I'm looking for is forward momentum, competency. Are they scoring points against teams that recently have shut them down offensively? Are they better in week 13 or 14 than they are in week 2? That kind of stuff. How is recruiting going? That's what I'm looking for. If people are just going to put if they don't win this number of games, it's a failure, I think that is setting them up for failure. Is there a 9-3 path for Ole Miss to the playoff? I don't think so. I mean, I guess mathematically there would be, but I do not think so. But yeah, you're right. They would have to beat Georgia in that scenario and lose 3 other games somewhere. They would have to have that super quality win. There might be a 9-3 team somewhere who gets consideration. You know what's funny? If Mississippi State goes, they're not going to, but if they go 9-3 with their schedule, they would get consideration. They would. Because that would mean that they would have beaten Texas A&M. Okay, I mean, you guys know their schedule. So aside from those 4 brutal road games, they have Florida, A&M, Arkansas, Missouri at home too. So if they go 9-3 with that, they'd absolutely get consideration because there would be a top 10 road win likely in there somewhere. How tight would that Egg Bowl be if it's a 10-1 Ole Miss team with a win sending them to Atlanta? Oh my gosh. I couldn't imagine. You should have said Jordan Hare kept Auburn in the game for 3 quarters. That place is worth like 2 touchdowns. It really can be wild there. Considering how just dominated they were by Georgia, how realistically do we think they closed the gap because it was massive? Well, a couple of things. Now, Ole Miss was losing that night by a lot of points regardless, but venue change matters. It does. Ole Miss was very unhealthy in that game as well. Dart was already hurt, then he got hurt again. They were really, really badly banged up on the offensive line. Had some personnel issues and injuries and stuff. I mean, they were really hurt at that point. Jordan Watkins had a cast on his hand. That was a really banged up Ole Miss team. So venue and health, and then they have upgraded on the lines of scrimmage, can change that. I don't think the gap is closed to the point where I think Ole Miss is winning that game as we sit here on July 2nd. But those factors do change things. Mike, I appreciate you, man. So you say you wrote BS stories about a Corvette and how you used to be fat in Wilkie's class. Had to become a lawyer after graduating. My job seems way more fun. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yours is a lot more lucrative, but no, I really liked Wilkie, though. I looking back, I wish I had approached college differently. I was just too busy just drinking all the time to care about anything else. Because I wish I would have been engaged more with Curtis Will, especially Curtis Wilkie's class. That's one I regret not really buying in on. In hindsight, I could take or leave basically everything else, but not him, not him. He was different. I think he's going to Florida if Napier gets fired. I'm going to make you guys a promise. I'm not going to talk about Kiffin to Florida until Florida comes open and his name starts getting put into hot boards. Would Pete Golding move the needle if Kiffin decides to leave? Only if they take another step forward defensively this year. I know he's really put an impression on a lot of people at Ole Miss. I know that he has really put an impression on high school coaches around the state. He's done a really good job recruiting. He is really good with people. And he's a really good coach on top of it all. They have got to take another step forward defensively this year for him to be considered, but I do think he would be considered. Absolutely. Yes. 100%. Look, even if Ole Miss didn't win the national championship, if this season goes to expectation, if they win double-digit games and make the playoff and say, like, they don't get to the SEC championship, so they host a playoff game and beat Wisconsin or whoever in the first round of the playoff and then lose to Ohio State or whoever in round two, and he takes an NFL job, Ole Miss fans will be thrilled. Got 5 years of Kiffin. He ushered them into the 12-team playoff era with success. Prove that you can win there, all that. He leaves for the NFL, man. It's all good. That's it. That's what I would say to you guys is if he takes an NFL job after succeeding like that, it's all good. You got 5 years of great football out of him. That's all you could ask for. Yeah, and we're gonna find this out this year, Chase. Is the portal thing with Ole Miss is can you close the gap between yourself and a Georgia doing it the way you do it? Clearly, they have elevated themselves in the sport. But elevating doesn't mean that they have caught up to the Georgia, right? They've clearly risen their floor. It's undeniable that Ole Miss football has risen their floor in this era, 100%. Where are they taking their ceiling? This season will tell us a lot. Is it fair to say the USA doesn't take soccer seriously like other countries? It's starting to get better. There's still a lot of nepotism and stuff at the national level, which is how you end up with people like Berhalter. But at the grassroots level, soccer is growing exponentially and getting more and more serious. Jordan, congratulations, man. Deployed. So you're deployed and you just had a third child. Congrats, man. Thank you for everything that you do. And congrats to the both of you. That is incredible. That return home is going to be pretty special, I imagine. So I'm saying I'll be a clingy type dad. No. I'm trying to get over that. I just can't. If Deion Smith's college career takes off with an already stacked wide receiver room, I don't think Georgia has the secondary to slow down Kiffin scheming the hell out of the Ole Miss offense. I think the health of the tight ends and the tight end room, you guys might think I'm crazy about this, but I think that is more important and that will be a bigger factor in the offense than whether or not Deion Smith is a factor. Because I really like what they have as a 1-2-3 punch, and neither of those three guys are Deion Smith. Too many people nationally are sleeping on Trey Harris. Too many people locally are sleeping on Jordan Watkins. And Juice Wells apparently is progressing very nicely. So I think it's more important to have Wright and obviously Priestcorn than Smith. I think that opens up the offense more. But what's interesting is that they have been good enough in 22 and 23 to beat Alabama, but it was mostly coaching that held them back. Exactly. And you're right. They had to throw to the end zone to beat Alabama in 22. They did. 14 transfers out and 3 in for baseball is a foreboding thought for 2025. They're going to have to fill the roster out with some stretches. That's going to be fun days on the internet for sure. Colorado picked 11th in the conference, but EA says they're a top 25 team. WTF. It's exclusively just trying to sell more games, I swear. There's no rhyme or reason behind that otherwise. You're excited to see both Oklahoma and Texas? I'm excited to see the first horns down penalty. Looks like Lebby's following the Ole Miss 2020 blueprint. Just score a bunch of points and hope for the best. That's what Haydad wants. That's what he's hoping for. If Florida goes 9-3, they should be in the playoff. Yes, exactly. See, that's one. Look at Florida's schedule. If they go 9-3, why is YouTube putting an advertisement in the middle? I need to adjust that. I guess I forgot to or didn't save the setting this time. That is not supposed to happen, but I have to manually make sure that does not happen, and I must have forgotten this time. Sorry about that. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Yes or no? You don't want to hear an explanation? Yes, it is. Meat involving bread is a sandwich. Folded bread, even if it's connected at the bottom with meat, sandwich every time. Brad Crawford is Ole Miss losing in the second weekend of the college football playoff to Georgia. That would be a successful season. It would. If Ole Miss could avoid Georgia in the playoff, I think they could beat almost anybody else. Not completely sold on Ohio State, portaling in Will Howard. I like Howard. Just the rest of their roster is so good. Those are the only two teams currently that I look at and think they're not winning those games. Everybody else, yeah, they can. Like, Oregon would be really freaking tough, right? Like, there are really good teams in college football. There's going to be a lot of them. But I do think Ohio State and Georgia are in a class of their own entering into the season. See Kiffin going back to the NFL? I do, too. I do, too. Love the South Carolina fans still hating on Juice. Yeah, he actually had to have surgery, but they say he took the money and ran and faked the injury. So, Chase, every time I feel stressed about anything involving my son, it's mostly money that stresses me out, like exclusively money that stresses me out. Because I don't know if you noticed this, but everything is more expensive, literally everything. I think of you and knowing that you have triplets. Sorry for revealing, but you've said that on here before. So, but I do think of you a lot where if I'm having trouble managing, it's like the dude's got three of this. Like, they're all the same. It's not like an 8-year-old that can help you. No, it's three of this. So I don't know how you do it. If Florida goes 9-3 and makes the playoff, does Napier leave? Where would he go? Caitlin Clark's a hell of a passer, but her team shooting is bad. She is very unselfish with the basketball. Neutral field, am I picking Ole Miss or Texas? Ole Miss right now. Texas lost a lot from last year's team. I know they portal and recruit well, but first, I'm always late. Now I think a hot dog's a sandwich. I'm suspended. Yeah, something like that. That's fine. By the way, no live on Thursday. It's the 4th of July. We're not going to be live. I will record something, though, that I will put in its place, but we're going to go shoot off fireworks and enjoy Independence Day. So no live on Thursday. After the way he was trying to get out of his way to trash talk Amos, I really hope Ohio State loses a game due to a Judkins fumble. Yeah, look, if you're going to chirp somebody, don't turn your replies off. That's just loser behavior. No offense, but it is. Brandon, thank you so much for your super chat, man. I hate that I couldn't be at the remote on Friday. I really do. I hate that. Had I had a say in when I was taking little man to see Pop-Up, I would have changed it. But anyway, thank you, man. Yeah, Kurt and Rod Collective, keep raising money. You guys are the best. Thank you. Defense saved them a couple times last year. No doubt it did. Arkansas, Tulane. There's more. Mississippi State, Auburn. Hit the nail on the head. Meat between the bread is always a sandwich. Thank you, King. You're welcome. You're welcome. Dream scenario. They beat Texas in the SEC championship with Arch as the starter, then beat Ohio State for the natty. That really, I don't think that you could pose a better scenario than that one. I'm going to use, Pat, your military discount at Lowe's to buy wood so I can replace my back deck fully, as opposed to a couple boards at a time, which is what I'm doing right now. Oh, my gosh. You feel for your wife. You're in Germany for 10 months, and she's at home with an 8-7-2 and 10-month-old. Oh, my goodness. At least 8 and 7 are ages where they're, like, you know, self-sufficient enough, but still, my goodness. You're not the hero. She is. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They just need a bubble wrap Priest corn. Him playing like he did in that bowl game is what unlocks the offense. Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. I'm unsuspended Thursday. Good. Good. I will record something for sure. I'm just, you know, gonna go see a baseball game and have like a beer and a half and then watch some fireworks. That's what needs to be done on 4th of July. Anyway, we've gone well over an hour. And on the second day of June, or what the hell am I thinking? On the second day of July, we've gone over an hour. I think that's good. I think we did really good. So I appreciate you guys a whole heck of a lot. Please like the video, all that good stuff. Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, presenting the Rebel Report, 662-397-9799. Priority One Bank, that make you their priority every single day. And Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Just tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment, absms.com. You guys are the best. I will see you on Sunday, but there will be a video between now and then as well. So thank you guys. I'll see you live on Sunday, and enjoy the 4th. Happy Independence Day. And I'll see you guys soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.